Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Good Thursday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening Commodity Market Report. The Commerce Department today says that retail sales rose in May by 0.6% to a seasonally adjusted $421.15 billion. Consumer spending accounts for more than two-thirds of total demand in the U.S. Meanwhile, the Labor Department says that prices paid for goods imported into the U.S. fell for the third straight month in May. Overall, import prices declined 0.6% from April. The drop was due largely to falling fuel prices. The figures are the latest sign that demand in the global economy is weakening. Australia's chief agricultural forecaster is predicting increased wheat production this crop year. The Australian Bureau of Agriculture and Resource Economics and Sciences today revised its output forecast for 2013-14 to 25.4 million metric tons. That's up 2% from its last forecast and up 15% from the 2012-13 production year. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, 14,987, is down almost 8 points. The NASDAQ at 33.96 is down 4.25. And the S&P 500 is 16.10. It's down almost 2 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Better field working conditions will occur across portions of the Midwest as we go forward through the next full week to 10 days. Not everybody will be treated the same, but we will see a better environment for field work as time moves along. Certainly yesterday we saw some strong to severe thunderstorms occur across a large part of the region, extending from Minnesota down into Ohio. Most of that precipitation that occurred was erratic and confined to mostly the late afternoon and evening hours. The majority of that precipitation has since pushed all the way out of the Midwest, with a little bit of rain still lingering in a small part of Ohio and some immediate areas of Indiana early today. But we do expect the majority of the easternmost part of the Midwest to dry out as we go forward through the day today. And we'll expect also to see temperatures across the region responding a little bit more to the sunshine and warming back up a bit. Yesterday was quite warm, though, to the south of this stormy area. Temperatures reached up into the 80s and lower to middle 90s, with central Illinois and Missouri warmest. The heat that occurred ahead of these storms gave us an opportunity to see rapid drying across the Midwest, and some aggressive fieldwork likely took place before the rain set in, and most of the precipitation stayed in that corridor from Minnesota to Ohio and parts of Indiana, leaving areas to the southwest of that mostly dry. The forecast over these next several days will likely allow for additional rain to occur periodically, but there will also be more warmth as well, and the end result is going to be opportunities for fieldwork to continue to advance. We don't expect precipitation to occur across any part of Illinois, Missouri, or Iowa today. In fact, most of the morning tomorrow will still be dry in Missouri, Illinois, and Indiana. We'll likely see Iowa picking up on some storms in the afternoon tomorrow, and they will expand eastward across the state shortly thereafter. I'm expecting to see a little bit more of a benefit from drying conditions, even though we do have a disturbance that will be moving through the Midwest over the weekend. Those showers and thunderstorms that begin in Iowa and actually start in Nebraska on Friday will work their way eastward across a fairly large portion of the Midwest as we move from Saturday night into Monday. The showers and thunderstorms that occur in many areas will be disruptive to field work, but the volume of rain is not expected to be all that impressive. The majority of the region over the course of the weekend will see rain totals that will probably run from a quarter to three-quarters of an inch, with a number of areas possibly getting into the 1 to 2 inch range. Those heavier storms will be possible in parts of Iowa, as well as in portions of Missouri and Illinois and Indiana. But we will see, obviously, a 2 or 3 day period prior to the heavier rains developing in which we can get some field work done. In the meantime, areas to the north in Minnesota and parts of the Dakotas, we're not going to see much precipitation at all, and those areas which have also been delayed in their field work will see an opportunity to get more progress accomplished. So that is one of the main reasons why we believe that field work will advance relatively well. Even though the late weekend storms across the heart of the Midwest will be disruptive, we go through a period of several days next week in which dry weather is expected to occur. So once we get into the afternoon on Tuesday, we'll likely stay dry in the western Corn Belt into Thursday of next week, if the current forecast model data is correct. Now, a few spotty showers occur in the western Corn Belt Wednesday night into Thursday, but it won't be organized rainfall, and fieldwork will still be allowed to advance. The eastern Midwest, Illinois through the Ohio, will probably be dry Wednesday, Thursday, and perhaps Friday of next week. So again, another opportunity for fieldwork to advance. Temperatures will be bouncing around a bit over this next full week, but we don't expect to see any persistent cool weather. We'll expect to see highs mostly in the 70s through the lower 80s on a frequent basis, and a few middle 80s in the south. We'll look for low temperatures at night to be mostly 50s and 60s. A few 70s will occur in the southwest. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for this agricultural weather report comes from Busey. Busey believes that healthy businesses strengthen our local economy. They have a commercial banking team with 20-plus years of experience providing lending solutions to meet unique business needs. Busey, your dream, our promise.
This morning, USDA released its latest export sales report for the week ending June 6th. The numbers look like this: in millions of bushels, wheat this year 15.7, next year 0, corn this year 3.2, next year 2.7, and soybeans this year 1.2, and next year 16.4. Let's see how futures are trading in Kansas City. July wheat at 7.16, down a half. July wheat in Chicago, 6.79 and three quarters, down 3 1/4. July corn, 6.45 and three quarters, down 5. December, 5.33 and a quarter, down 4 1/4, now 4 1/2. July soybeans, 15.23 and a half, now 23 and even, now 3/4, down 17. November at 12.97, down 17 and a quarter. July soybean meal, 4.57.30, down 4.10. July soybean oil at 47.93 is down 18 cents. June live cattle, 119.75, down 40. August feeders, 145.80, down 12 and a half. And June lean hogs are 101.40, and they are up 45. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Ellen Dearden of AgriView, and she is in Morton, Illinois. Good morning, Ellen.
Good morning to you, Dave.
Think of what yesterday's WASDE report did was set up the potential for a pretty volatile end-of-the-month report with between the acreage report and the quarterly grain stock report.
Yeah, and those are always big reports anyway, but I wouldn't be surprised to see USDA announce that they intended to resurvey at least Minnesota, Iowa, South Dakota, and Wisconsin for this upcoming report. Certainly things are getting extremely late for planting in Wisconsin, South Dakota, probably that northeast portion of Iowa as well. And northeast Iowa and western part of Wisconsin really got dumped on yesterday.
They got a lot of rain yesterday. Meanwhile, export sales, nothing to write home about in either corn or soybeans in the old crop.
No, not much to write home about, but at least we weren't on the negative side on the beans. We've seen a lot of cancellations. Old crop beans shifted to new crop beans. We didn't see that this week. I thought it was interesting that USDA on their report yesterday lowered the Brazilian 2012 bean crop by 1.5 million metric tons to 82 million metric tons. So, you know, that kind of surprised me. I don't know if it surprised anybody else.
And world corn also went lower, too, and probably further revisions depending on what we do and hear from in the U.S.
Yeah, I think we will see further revisions. I also believe we're going to see some downside revisions in the world wheat crop. Certainly the amount of flooding in the EU has been spectacular, and that's got a weigh on this wheat crop.
It's got to be a mystery to wheat producers to see USDA increase ending stocks on production for wheat. Production for wheat with the crop conditions continuing to deteriorate on the weekly reports.
Yeah, and I think it was. And I also noted that on this particular report, WASDE just put out so many footnotes to to their data, and that suggests to me that they realize that there's a lot of criticism coming on these reports, and they need to backpedal a little bit.
So at the end of the week, are we higher or lower?
My guess is that we will be lower. Pressure today is really coming from the outside markets. November beans easily took out $13 again today. Yesterday, we bounced right off that. December corn got down to that 532.5 and bounced yesterday. It'll be interesting to see how much lower we're going to try to test to see before we can catch.
Thank you, Ellen. That's Ellen Dearden of AgriView, and she is in Morton, Illinois. Current tick in the marketplace. July corn is 647, down 3.75. December is 534, down 3.5. July soybeans, 1523.25, down 17.5. And as Ellen said, soybeans for November under the $13 benchmark at 1298.75, down 15.5. And July soybean meal at 457.10 is down 4.30, and July soybean oil is 47.93, down 18 cents. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana.